landfall. Blown off course by Aeolus's explosive cyclone of the four winds, Aeneas's fleet was saved only by the intervention of the sea god, Neptune, who favoured the pious Trojan and was never pleased to have his marine empire interfered with by others. He commanded Aeolus to return to his island kingdom and take his blustering winds with him. Only seven ships of Aeneas's fleet made landfall on the Libyan coast. Aeneas climbed to the highest cliff to look out to the horizon for any sign of the missing 13. There was none. On the shoreline, a great city was rising, not yet fully built, but promising wondrous grandeur. "What is that place?" he asked his companion Achates. "That is, or will be, Carthage." "An African settlement so splendid? I've heard of such cities, but I thought they were further inland." "This place is Punic, my lord, not African." Punic now tends to refer specifically to Carthage, as in the later Punic Wars between Rome and Carthage, but its meaning derives from Phoenicia on the Mediterranean coast of southern Lebanon, whose principal city was Tyre. Its people were known biblically and elsewhere as the Canaanites. "Who rules here?" "They call her Queen Dido. She comes from the land of Cadmus and Phoenix. Indeed, it was the Phoenicians who first came to trade here. Dido ruled in Tyre as Queen Elissa. She had a brother, a terrible man named Pygmalion."
"Like the artist?"
"Oh, same name, but this Pygmalion was no sculptor." Dido had married a priest of the Shrine of Hercules called Acerbas, the richest man in the kingdom. Brother-in-law or no, Pygmalion had him murdered for his fortune. But Dido was clever and escaped Tyre with all her dead husband's gold. She settled first in Cyprus and then made her way here to build her new city. They say she will marry Hyarbas, the king of Numidia." Turning his gaze away from the coastline, Aeneas saw three huge stags leading a herd of deer into some woods. Creeping forward, he loaded his bow seven times with an arrow from the quiver held for him by Achates. Seven times he shot and brought down a deer, one carcass for each of the seven remaining vessels of their fleet, anchored out in the bay. The Trojans feasted on the venison and raised toasts of wine, honouring the memories of the comrades whose ships had been lost in the storm. Aeneas further raised his men's spirits with a speech of encouragement. He reminded them that, amongst other dangers, they had faced the monster Scylla and survived the threats of the Cyclopes. "We have a destiny, my friends, a promised land, the kingdom of Latium." Latium, or Lazio in Italian, now best known amongst some for its Serie A football side, was the kingdom from which we derive the word Latin. "It is a destiny foretold by too many prophets and revealed by too many oracles for any to doubt it. The city of Troy is lost, but do not doubt that the people of Troy will survive and will rise to a greatness unmatched in the history of mankind. We sorrow for our lost friends and our lost kingdom, but we praise and thank the gods for our coming glory." Just as he finished, a horn sounded out at sea, and they all turned. A low, wide vessel was being rowed towards them. Queen Dido was sending a party of her courtiers across the bay to welcome these visitors to Carthage.